Fan Morning Show, Sports at 5-9 of the Fan. I'm really trolling Ailish this morning. I trolled her last night. I don't think there's anything that makes women's blood boil like Tristan Thompson. I really think that you just say his name, it's like the women's Voldemort, you know? Tristan Thompson. Comparison. And they go,
don't say
he is the name that should not be named. He hurts Chloe.
I don't even know if it's just the Chloe thing, but it's like just like the repetitive lying and getting caught in it, having a baby with someone else, getting caught in it, denying that's not my baby, and then the paternity test coming out and being like, yes, that's my baby. It's just like, how many times can you get caught in the same scandal? He's out on the road.
How many times you get brought back, though?
I know.
At some point, if a guy cheats on you a million times and says, that's not my baby to you when it's his baby, you got to figure, hey, maybe I need to stop believing that this guy is my future. Maybe.
He's like, videos every time they're on the road somewhere, there's like videos from a club and it's like, look, Tristan Thompson with another girl. And everyone's like, oh my God. Anyway.
If I looked like Tristan Thompson, you better believe that I would also be – it would be a lot of JD seen on the road with another girl. JD in a hotel room or in a hotel lobby, two girls on his arms like that Tristan video. Oh, JD, just nonstop. Of course I wish. What are you talking about? You know who else wishes? Every male on the planet. Like, we all want to be Tristan Thompson. That's the worst part about all of this. We would all know it. Blake Murphy.
I was just going to do our little
Blake,
hoop
our
ticket
resident
giveaway.
Tristan Thompson. Oh, okay. Yeah, do it. Give him away.
Well, we're gossiping. You might be able to bring one of your lucky ladies to see The Who. Rock legends The Who are coming to Toronto, and we want to send you. Right now, we're giving away tickets to The Who's October 2nd show at Scotiabank Arena all week long. Right now, if you want to win a pair of tickets, be caller number 5 at 416-870-0590. Or 1-888-666-0590 or *590. Correct. Tickets to see The Who, October 2nd at Scotiabank Arena. If you don't win today, tune in again tomorrow for your next shot at winning. We'll be giving away all week long to go see The who we talked about yesterday. Don't really have that many hits. Bob O'Reilly. Just play that on repeat. Okay.
That's not how you sell this, Ailish.
Well, maybe someone in the text line is going to text in and be like, this girl knows nothing about The Who. Have you heard of this banger? But they're not my top rock band, but someone will be out there pumped about The Who, and this is going to make their life. Hey, another thing is, if you forgot to get Valentine's Day gifts for your lover, this is you know what, honey? Surprise. I actually got his tickets to The Who, but I hadn't got them yet, and boom, a little late gift. Yeah. So, good luck.
Yeah,
to
no,
all
women
of you.
Women often are very cool
with
if you forget
gifts.
To do something and then give them a late gift and say that you always had it planned and that it was a special surprise a day later. In my experience, women, that's what their slogan should be. Women. Very cool.
we're not upset if you showed up last night at home, no flowers. Just like you scribbled a card, like, or you grabbed flowers last night at Shoppers Drug Mart that were like, you know, carnations, the only things left in the tub. Yeah. They look a little bit old.
Women. Very chill. so chill. You guys are just straight chilling all the time. So fine with huge mistakes that we make. All right. Huge mistake that we made as a show. The Toronto Raptors thinking that they were going to be competitive in this game. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. That was just a wire-to-wire beating. And I expected some pushback at some point in that game, but no, there was nothing. I don't know, Blake. Are we just doing the same thing that we did with the Leafs game last night, where it's, hey, you're kind of just punting this result because it's such an anomaly, or is there something that you didn't like about this one?
Here is how big an anomaly it is. The Raptors took 18 more field goal attempts than the Pelicans. They took 15 more free throw attempts than the Pelicans. That has only happened 22 other times in league history. Teams who get that many more shooting possessions than their opponents were 16-6 previously, and none had ever lost by more than 16. And the Raptors lost by 30, despite, again, 18 more field goal attempts, 15 more free throw attempts. And that's because they had a plus 15 edge on the offensive glass and a plus 7 edge in turnovers. The Raptors did the process stuff they're supposed to do. They forced a lot of New Orleans turnovers. They tried to get out in transition. They hit the offensive glass. They, like, the first two, I know non-basketball fans are always like, whoa, the last 2 minutes is all that matter. You could have watched the first 4 minutes of this game and got all you needed to know, because the Raptors were 1 of 8 in the paint in the first 4 minutes. I was counting. I was like, when is one of these going to go in? They're getting awful transition layups that are missing. They're getting easy tip-ins. OG's having dunks go off the back of the rim. They shot 30% for the game. 23% on threes is maybe the one element of this that's a little concerning, just because non-Fred players were 4 of 25 on threes, and that's like, that's an actual thing that this team doesn't do particularly well. I don't think they're going to shoot 12% in the paint for a quarter all that often. This is mostly a throw-it-away game with a sprinkle of these guys look either a little fatigued or we're looking a little ahead to All-Star break already.
They looked exhausted.
Yeah. And like, look, a lot of the times what we look for, you know, fatigue is more of a qualitative thing. But if you're looking for numbers indicators, it's sloppy turnovers. Mm-hmm. It's 3-point shots that are coming up short. And it's lack of burst around the rim. And when you have Scottie Barnes shooting 2 of 10 and 2 of 8 inside the arc, when you have Gary Trent Jr. with what had to be his worst game of the season as a jump shooter, and so on, like, you just, like, Chris Boucher was the only guy last night that looked like he had any bounce whatsoever, other than, like, Fred got hot from three for a little bit. This was mostly a throw-it-out game, or as Fred likes to say, flush it.
Mm. So there were a couple things that I thought of off of the flush it game, because I agree, you're right. You just painted the case. Anybody that watches this Raptors team is, that's not usually them. That's not the Raptors team that you've grown accustomed to all season long. That's nothing even close to it. But a couple things that are greater trends from it, or that I thought you could build narratives off of. Number one was just simply the impact Valanciunas had on that game in the short minutes that he had. And even when he wasn't doing stuff, just like, it's pretty jarring when you see Valanciunas get the ball on the low block and actually have positioning, and you know who's guarding him is Siakam. And then they go, send help, and it doesn't matter because he's just going to have a little bunny. Like, Valanciunas does it, turn over his left shoulder, put his right hand up in the air, and it's in the net. And it was a reminder of, the Raptors, we said go to the deadline and get someone who wasn't another version of what they already have, but they didn't, and that's when you saw Thad Young. Cool spin move that he had when he came in the game, but not what this team needs at all. Yeah. So getting a center.
Valanciunas is too dominant to the extent that he didn't play enough minutes to hit his props. He hit the points over. He hit the turnovers over that I had mentioned because you knew a lot of double teams were coming and stuff, but only 9 rebounds. He only played 29 minutes, so they were plus 28 in those 29 minutes. I did think it was hilarious, like, just the visual and the contrast and energy in that game where they're up 30 and JV's still on the floor in the fourth because, like, there just hasn't been a dead ball for him to check out. And he's still, like, doing the old JV thing of head down and full arms going, sprinting up in transition to get position. And it's like, man, JV is incapable of not being JV for even a possession. And I mean that as a compliment because he's always, you know, head down and grinding like that. But yeah, coming up a little short on the rebounds because you were too dominant. JV, let's get 80% of you when we're betting props on you in the future.
It's really going to be one of the most fascinating subplots to me of the offseason is how the Raptors address that position, because it's such a huge hole. And you can get away with it a lot of nights because the NBA is a much smaller league. But every time the Raptors face a competent, actual size guy, it is just such a disaster. And I don't know when they play Philly next, but I feel like Joel Embiid is going to have like a 40-20 game against the Raptors when he sees them.
Yeah, and we have Coach David Thorpe on at 8 o'clock, who is, first of all, like kind of the leading guy on believing in Scottie Barnes ahead of draft season, but also someone who knows Masai well. And I want to ask him about that. It's that, you know, Masai spoke the other day on Friday. He did his post-deadline presser, and he said, hey, we believe in this, and we think we can win like this, and we're going to win like this. However, at a certain point, you're probably going to have at least, like, an option you can go to, because you look, and the Heat have Bam, and the Bulls have Vucevic, and the Cavs have Allen and Mobley, and the Sixers have Joel Embiid, and the Bucks don't have a center you may be terrified of, but
the best strategy is a center.
Yeah, and the best strategy for Giannis is having traps with size that he struggles to pass around. Even Boston, like, they have Robert Williams, who is a huge vertical threat and has given the Raptors problems. And I just went down the top six teams in the East. Like, that's where those names came from. So,
plus,
yeah,
Blake,
if you
got your French guy coming down the pipeline.
Wemby. Wemby. Yeah, we got a little bit of time before we have to worry about Wemby. The Pistons will still be in dead last. The Pistons and Magic will still be fighting for lottery ball. That's 2023 draft. We got your guy Chet this year, though.
Yeah, Chet is. I don't think Chet will be an issue for the Raptors to guard. I don't think that they're going to go, God, we just can't keep Chet off the block. He's just dominating us physically. I feel like OG is going to breathe on him really hard.
Yeah, you're going to give him the old backbreaker.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, look, those are the top six teams.
Chet
those
looks
are the
like
teams.
Pete Davidson, but 7 feet tall, so I'm not worried about it.
I just went down the East standings. Those are the teams ahead of the Raptors. That's before you get into, like, the Nets and the Hawks, who are teams that you want good rim protection against because they're really talented teams at getting to the rim. So you are probably going to need it at some point. And I think last night was actually another thing you might take from this game narratively is that the starting five continued to be just okay together. And that three-center look off the bench continued to be not very good together. And it was all the in-between lineups where you're mixing those two groups that looked good. Nick Nurse even conceded after the game, which is the first time he's really done that, that against these more traditional centers, they probably have to reevaluate starting small every single game as a matter of principle.
Yeah, that was going to be my point, is that it sounded like Nurse might be listening to the noise a little bit about switching things up. And I know we've talked about this in the past. Okay, actions speak louder than words, but is there going to be a point where he's kind of forced to that? Like, it looked like everyone was exhausted, and maybe it's because, okay, All-Star breaks around the corner and you know, let's get some rest. But it seemed like that was another opportunity for Nurse to have a little bit of awareness of what people are thinking and feeling.
I don't even know if it's like the outside noise, but there is, like, that lineup has played 300 minutes together now, and they have a slightly negative net rating during a stretch where the Raptors have been very, very good overall. So they're not winning because that lineup is blowing teams away. They're kind of winning in spite of that lineup just being a slightly, you know, like, some of that early sample was really bad. So we'll say slightly above average of late. But I think what it shows is that that lineup can be a really effective matchup look or energy changing look or even closing look. I don't know that it's a look you need to play. Like, it's been 300 minutes over 18 games together. I don't know that it's a lineup you need to commit 17 minutes a game to. And I don't know that the team isn't better starting a worse player so that your rotations make a little more sense. And then even, like, developmentally, I think it's important for Scottie Barnes to get reps guarding at center and things like that. But I do wonder if maybe, and again, this is something we could ask Coach David Thorpe about, because not many people know better how to develop playmaking forwards than Coach Thorpe. But maybe Scottie benefits from, hey, instead of being the fifth usage starter and focusing on defending centers, you know, you're anchoring bench units a little bit more, and you're the second usage guy in those looks, and you get to expand your playmaking a little bit more. Like, I thought Scottie wasn't great last night, but the thing that stood out to me wasn't really the 2 of 10; it was the 0 assists. He just didn't have the ball in his hands a lot. And I don't want to make too much of one game, but the starting five not being super effective is not a one game thing. It's been a underlying trend even during the winning streak. So interesting to hear Nurse talk about potentially tweaking that, and we should get a look at whether he means it or not pretty soon, because they got Karl-Anthony Towns on Wednesday.
Yeah, this is what I so it's very interesting, the starting five stuff, because those are your best guys.
Yeah,
and they should fit better together if the plan is to win small. They just should. I'm sorry. They should be better together if that's the
point. And that's an argument to play them lots together and let them figure it out, right? Like 300 minutes is a lot by five-man lineup samples. It's not a lot in terms of, hey, there have been 18 games this season where all five of those guys were available.
Well,
like,
so
that would almost be an argument to just keep running it out there and let them figure it out.
Well, especially considering two things. One is, what exactly are your other options? They're not exactly the most attractive. There's no obvious answer that people are clamoring for right now, right? There's things that you can do.
Right, it'd be Cam or Precious.
Exactly. There's nothing that is, oh man, you really got to do this. So that's part of it. Number two is, I think we've shifted back into this weird hybrid of development and trying to win thing where it'd be great to win a playoff round, but everyone is now kind of looking at this saying the East is more competitive, assuming Kevin Durant can get healthy and the Nets can get in, assuming that the James Harden thing works out in Philly, which you got to imagine it does. And again, the Raptors are just not well equipped to beat that Sixers team, and that the Bucks end up being as dominant as they have looked over their last little stretch. It seems anyways that there are three teams at the top of the Eastern Conference that are very, very tough. And yeah,
I'd include the Heat in that too, honestly.
Yeah, I'll throw them in out of respect, but yeah, I think that there's something lacking with the Heat, and I still feel as though it's going to be tough for them to have all their guys healthy at the same time. That just seems like it's been one of the core problems for them all season long. But yes, you're right. The Heat are certainly above the Raptors. But the center thing, well, I don't even, Blake, just because you brought up rim protection, right? You go, hey, they need a rim protector. That's true. But to me, it's not even so much about that. It's like you want to have someone who can handle physically having a night against Jonas Valanciunas. And that's probably, I guess, Kem Birch. But even after that, Kem Birch is going to get dominated by JV. Like, he has no shot.
He's 6'9".
Yeah,
he's strong, but he's not. Yeah.
No shot. You got to have somebody who can soak up minutes in a regular season game so that you're not asking Pascal Siakam or Scotty Barnes, who's a rookie, or OG Anunoby, who's your ace in the hole defender, to be giving you over 30-plus minutes against the Jokic's, and then Valanciunas comes to town a couple of games later. And then you're looking ahead to the schedule, and like you just said, Karl-Anthony Towns is here, and Cat isn't exactly Mr. Physical and dominate you that way, but even still, that's a big physical toll over the course of regular season. So even if you do think the way that you're going to win is with small ball, which I kind of agree with, right? It's no, I don't believe that you need to have JV out there, your own JV again, to win a championship. But in order to get there, you have to have lineup versatility. You've got to have someone who can handle the load of being in those matchups. And I don't really like the proposition of night in, night out, you're asking these undersized dudes who are already playing too many minutes as it is to now take on that as well.
Yeah, and to the rim protection point, like, that's as much about finishing inside as it is, you know, natural just shot blocking. Like, the Raptors' defense does a pretty good job, given their limited center play, to keep teams away from the rim. Like, they're 11th in the league at keeping opponents away from the rim, but when they get there, opponents are shooting 67%. Like, that's a bottom five mark. They also foul a lot. That's a lot of, I think, guys like JV and Embiid cooking inside. That's a lot of second chance points. That's a lot of, if you beat the first line of defense, you've got your kind of path to the rim there. So a big body can help in a lot of ways there. Like JV is no one's idea of like a bursty Biombo style rim protector, but you know, you think of what he does well defensively. He's a huge guy who can go up straight vertically and is over 7 feet tall. It's kind of the, you know, Marc Gasol was not exactly a traditional rim protector, but good luck getting to the rim when he's on the court. So that's I'm with you. I would like to see that as a kind of a change of pace look and something they address in the offseason. Not the most robust of center markets, but
gotta go out and get an Aaron Baines type is what I'm saying here.
Yeah. Aaron Baines, Alex Len, all those guys.
My other thing off this game, Fred ends up leaving with knee soreness. And this is, as Blake said, we're getting very close to the All-Star game. Do you guys feel like there is a little bit of a Kyle Lowry plays golf at the All-Star game, hurts his wrist component going on here? Like, Fred is in the three-point contest. He's heading to the All-Star game. I know he wants to be in it. It's very important for a guy who is branded as an undrafted free agent playing in this game, right? Like, this isn't a seven-time All-Star deciding to bow out of the contest. This is obviously of great, great, great import to him and his brand. How are we feeling about Fred, who is clearly banged up and who has been banged up for like a week and a half, what, 2 weeks now, heading to this game? It feels like there's a bit of Lowry potential here. I'm not going to lie, a little bit of Lowry potential.
I don't see it really, just because, like, I think the toll of the All-Star weekend. What?
I said, because you got to protect Fred? Come on.
Yeah. No, if I wanted to protect Fred, I'd be bubble wrapping him for the weekend.
Yeah.
No, I think the toll of the All-Star game is a little overstated when you're not Kyle Lowry. Like, Fred's going to take 25 jump shots. Usually he'd take about 100 as part of his warm-up pregame. So the three-point competition is not all that arduous. And then he's going to play like eight minutes in the All-Star game. And he's not going to be out there drawing charts. Pardon?
You think he only plays 8 minutes in the All-Star game?
I mean, I think he's probably a guy who plays close to the fewest minutes. Like, he was the second last pick on his team, and that was only really because of the Harden thing, which was very, very funny. And, like, the league's general dislike of Rudy Gobert. So, I could see him being a guy that doesn't play a ton of minutes. He's certainly not going to be out there taking charges and stuff like Kyle Lowry. Like, Fred's very competitive, but I think Fred would go into the All-Star game with a good mentality of, hey, man, I'm just going to get some threes up and chill.
Ailish?
I think Blake has to be politically correct in his answers, because he wants to be a good voice of the Raptors, but I think that there is a little bit of that. I think that Fred is tired because he's played a lot of minutes, but I feel like there is a little bit of, you know, the All-Star games approaching, the Kyle Lowry thing. I don't know. I'm on that a bit. Like, so maybe
I think you're both right. I think Blake is very right to say that the concern is overstated. That, hey, guess what, guys? Fred's not going out there to break rocks, all right? Like, he's not going to go out there. And who's the coach of the All-Star game this year, Blake? Who's the Eastern coach?
I forget which coach is on which side.
Yeah, because I don't know who's been going up and down in terms of who's doing it.
I know either it's way. Monty. It's Monty and Spolstra.
I don't think Spo is going to have Lowry show up and Fred show up and go, all right, suicides. Now, start the suicides, Fred.
Right.
Go out there. Give me 45 minutes. No, he's right. It's probably going to be pretty relaxed. But what I think that you're trying to say, and the thing that I kind of feel, is Fred is an unbelievably popular player among Toronto Raptors fans. And this is just feels a little bit – it's not risky because of what Blake said, but I do feel there is at least this little hint of – hey, man, if you go to the All-Star game and then you can't play for the next 2 weeks, you know, you've got to have your knee rested because you're at the All-Star game. I don't know how that's going to look. The Raptors still are jostling for playoff position, right? And this is a year where this is a team where they're going, no, we care about winning. We care about playoffs. We just added at the deadline. I don't know. There's just like, especially considering that Siakam is right there as a well, obviously would be a Raptors player that replaces you. There's a hint of it for me. But I got to say, Blake's answer to me was very much, I'm like, buddy, I'm an idiot. Like, he's going to be fine. Like, he's going to be fine. It's just that Kyle's wrist thing did happen.
Yeah. The Kyle thing I was actually worried about, though, because he was, like, injured heading into All-Star weekend. Mm. He was golfing with a hand injury.
Yeah.
And then he was wearing the oven mitt on the sidelines. Yeah. Like, that was a real thing. That's the equivalent of, like, if Fred had missed a couple games with the knee thing, and then we saw him out, like, playing on a trampoline at All-Star weekend, like, doing slam ball or something like that, and then he hurts his knee in the game.
Slam ball. Hey, guess what? You want to rejuvenate the All-Star game? You bring back slam ball with NBA players. Oh, my God. The first injury, and we have a Warren commission into how this ended up happening. But, yeah, I would still love it. Yeah, you're right. This isn't all the same lower body injury, though, is it? It feels as though it's multiple. It like sounds like his knee, his groin. That I don't know.
The guy's leading the league in minutes.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. Is it's just if Fred had already made an let me put it this way: if Fred had already made an All-Star game, if he had already made an All-Star team, Blake, do you think he's going?
Yeah, probably still. Honestly,
okay.
I think, you know, this matters to these guys, right? Like,
of course.
Like, Zach LaVine flew out to L.A. to get his knee reevaluated, and all the reporting until he got told he couldn't was he still wants to participate in All-Star. He still wants to participate in All-Star. It matters to these guys, even if it's a come out and play a couple minutes. And, you know, like I think for these guys, too, it's a good opportunity.
There's money involved.
There's money involved. There's, like, palling around with other stars involved. There's the cachet of just, like, getting seen in the All-Star game. Like especially for guys who are still on the come up. Like, I don't know that a Lowry type cares as much. Well, Lowry cares because he's petty and he would be happy to have someone else's spot. But, like, I don't know that, like, Joe Johnson in his seventh All-Star game cares that much about being there and getting noticed and stuff like that. Whereas younger guys, it's the same for Siakam, where, like, yeah, it's weird that, like, if he makes the team in LaVine's spot now, he's like, what, the fourth injury replacement? It doesn't feel All-Star-y, but, like, you look back and it'll say two-time All-Star on his thing. I think it's kind of similar.
Yeah, I hope Fred goes. I know it means a lot to him. I know that. Yes, I'm sorry. The branding element of this does matter for Fred, and it, like, for you to say you went from undrafted to All-Star and playing an All-Star game, mm-hmm. that matters. And it is tough to make this, and I don't think that Fred is just a lock to make the All-Star game every year. We thought that it was going to be a bit of a stretch for him to make it in this one, and he's been incredible, and yet there's already a lot of people who think that he's not the Raptors' actual true All-Star right now. So I get him going to this. I think that it is important for him to go, but I do hope that, like, I wouldn't even hate it if he withdrew from the three-point contest. I know he's got to be present. He's got to be visible, so he probably does that one. But, yeah, I still hope that he is going to be okay from this, because I would really, 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 really hate bet on yourself to get turned into, like, hey, this guy should have rested. And I really don't want to do 2 weeks of shows off of that if he does come back and he's still banged up and litigating the merits of whether or not he should have gone. I really do hope that he escapes with this, because I think we all really like Fred. I also thought it was very funny yesterday, Raptors Twitter being upset that Jared Allen got named to the All-Star game when the game is in Cleveland, Ohio, and that in any reality they weren't going to name the Cleveland guy to the All-Star game when it was up to the commissioner of the league over Siakam. Please, people, pick your battles, for the love of God. Please, I
also
beg of you.
30, like, they're the best story of the season other than the Grizzlies. They're 35-22. They got the best
incredible.
Defense in the league. And Jared, and like, I had people in my mentions being like, oh, he's a good player, not an All-Star. He's averaging 16-11 incredibly efficiently and anchoring the best defense in the league. Like,
on
if that dude,
where the
if that dude doesn't have an All-Star case, get out of here.
Well, if the game is in Toronto, everybody, I think that they would have given the nod to Siakam. I think that would have happened. All right. It's time for something to chew on, brought to you by Great Canadian Meats.
Yes, it is. So I had a couple. I'm going to pivot back to Marner, because I had one leftover Marner thing from earlier.
Good.
So Mitch Marner has played here is ranks in the league. And keep in mind, Mitch Marner's missed a lot of time this year. 157th among forwards in even strength time on ice, 82nd in power play time on ice, 70th in shorthanded time on ice, and then 88th in time on ice overall, all in 37 games. So that's not, those ranks aren't crazy or anything like that. When you start to look at, though, the three-level play in terms of even strength, power play, and shorthanded, they're only, even with all the missed games, there are only 21 forwards who have played as much at even strength on the power play and on the penalty kill as Mitch Marner. Only six of those are wingers, and none of them have played fewer than 45 games, whereas Mitch Marner has played 37 games. I bring this up, the reason I looked it up is because Mitch Marner had a point at even strength, at power play, and at shorthanded last night. It's the old, I know Mario's were goals, but the Mario Lemieux hat trick of shorthanded, power play, and even strength. I wanted to mention it because as we look at Mitch Marner's playing so well, and Mitch Marner's adding more goals and he's adding more point total overall and he's on this hot streak, whatever, it shouldn't be lost that he's still very, very important to this team defensively too. And it's something I like to remind people of occasionally with Austin Matthews as well, where Matthews being such a good faceoff guy and a better defensive player than a lot of, like, score first snipers is just Marner is doing this at all three levels, in all three situations, all three levels of the ice for the Leafs. So, yeah, that's something to chew on. Is just he's maybe one of the most versatile wingers in the entire NHL, if not the most versatile when you look at the ability to play in all situations.
Yeah, I don't think that you can say anyone's played better this season. I just don't know how you make that case. I don't know how you make the case of, okay, you can say that people are on his level or that he's on the level of this when you talk about that versatility, but to say someone has been better this year, I think that, yeah, you're just kind of... I need some evidence to that because I don't know how, one, that's possible, and yes, I haven't seen the numbers that indicate that unless you're using games played, like you're actually using volume stats, not the games that he's been able to play with. Let's take a break. It is Text Line Tuesday. I would like more Valentine stuff in the text line, but you're the producers, so you can do whatever you want. 590, 590. You can shoot DMs at JD Bunkus, Ailish Forfar, Blake Murphy, if you're so inclined. On Instagram is where I prefer to read the DMs. Text Line Tuesday. We hand it over to you, the listeners, the Chads and the Tanners. That's next on the Fan Morning Show. JD Bunkus, Ailish Forfar, Blake Murphy, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Everything you need to know about all things Raptors. The Raptor Show with Will Liu. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's The Fan Morning Show. Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'm JD Bunkus, Ailish Forfar, Blake Murphy. I know that I'm trying to do this thing on the show where we don't talk about the music because our podcast listeners, who we love, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you leave your sweet reviews. But I was talking to a friend yesterday about Wonderwall and how it's, is it the best song to... least you could possibly listen to it anymore because it's been ruined by the cringy version of a guy singing it to a girl as a Valentine's Day present song of all time. Like when I hear Wonderwall, the first time I heard it, and I remember being a kid, that was one of the first songs I ever heard where I thought, I understand music now. Oh, this is what loving music is. And now I hear it, and it's just, it's nails on a chalkboard. But the rest of that album is still incredible. But that song in particular, am I the only one? Am I the only one who can no longer really hear Wonderwall?
No, I think that makes sense. It's
but
like
it's such a good song.
I know. It's still a good song. I think the important thing is the context and the environment in which you hear it, right? Like if you put on that album, you'd probably, in the flow of that album, be like, man, this song is such a banger. You hear it out or you hear it as like, you know, a bad cover of it for a commercial or something like that. Then that's when it's like, oh, my God, how did you ruin this amazing song? Yeah, so I get it. This is the issue here, JD, is capitalism.
I think, yes. No, but also, yes, capitalism is one. But I also remember this guy, Steven, on my res floor, who had a guitar and the goatee, the entire thing. And he would always sing El Scorcho and Wonderwall on his acoustic guitar at every... I'm talking about every social function. And now that's all I see and hear with Wonderwall. It's partially your fault, Steven. It's on you, bro. Thanks a lot. I hope you got laid because you ruined a classic for many, many people on our floor. Ailish, it's how do you feel? Wonderwall, can you listen to it? Would you listen to Wonderwall? Like, if it comes up on a Spotify playlist, would you stick it out the entire way?
Probably. I don't think maybe it's been as overplayed in my generation. I feel like there's a couple
don't
other songs that
say
come to mind.
Your generation like that. Like, we're... 2 decades
okay, but
apart.
In college, it wasn't the song that like people were, you know, playing. I would say like Sweet Caroline or Wagon Wheel. Like I can feel like those are more like, oh God, this song again. Not that I don't like those songs. I do, but it's just like, you know, you're like, really? Don't Stop Believing. Like it's just like kind of those songs that you'd hear and you're like, okay, again.
I was at a wedding this summer. one of my best friend's weddings, and the DJ pulled out last second. He had an injury and couldn't make it to the wedding, so they had to have a friend be the DJ. I know, it was tough. He played Wagon Wheel 3 times at the wedding.
No.
3 times. Yes, yes. I was texting
with
the
bride. Okay, that's
bad.
There's enough music that you can find better options.
3 times. Sorry. Sorry, Nate. You did great, but the Wagon Wheel 3 times was noticed by people. Okay, so it's Text Line Tuesday, 590-590. Oh, I haven't muted and Nailish is mad. Now, Text Line Tuesday, 595. Oh, it's Blake who is mad. Chucking. I didn't even read the name. Didn't even read the name. I just assumed.
I said nicely, can you please mute? Yeah. Blake, you can tell Ailish is really mad because she didn't curse you out for it.
Okay,
I'm over
it.
I just let it happen.
It's Text Line Tuesday, 590-590. You can also reach out on the DMs at JD Bunkus, at Ailish4far, at Blake Murphy. Or, sorry, not at Blake Murphy, but Blake has the two, so search Blake Murphy. I'm going to read this one because I asked for awkward hospital stories or hospital stories.
Hospital stories?
Well, this one involves a hospital. This one involves a hospital. That's why I got I started reading the message too early. I asked for awkward Valentine's Day stories, and Ryan sent the best one. First year dating my now wife. I broke my leg in half on Friday, February 13th.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Friday the 13th. This guy broke his leg in half. He sent a picture of it, too. It's gruesome.
Oh, that's
Sorry. Well, it's an x-ray. It's not his actual hanging, like, fleshy leg, you know?
Oh, that would have been cool, though. That would have been actually, really, I would respect that more.
I know.
I'm just like, hey, you want submissions, JD? Look
Ryan,
at this.
Send that to Blake. No. So he breaks his leg in half Friday, February 13th, and they spent their first Valentine's Day in the hospital. My wife had dinner at Boston Pizza with my brother and his wife, then came to the hospital to see him. Obviously, there was probably some other lead up here. I'm interrupting the story because he wrote, then came to the hospital to see my bum and hear me yelling when the nurse was trying to put in a catheter. So, yeah, that's good. I really like that. But, is there any less attractive thing you can wear than hospital gown?
I don't think so.
No. Hospital gown is the lowest you can be, right? Like,
yeah,
I would never want
to... You know that Curbed... There was a Curbed episode this season where he walks into a pane of glass and, like, falls down. And Lucy Liu can, like, no longer see him as a viable romantic partner.
Yeah,
because once you see someone like that, that's it, right? You can't...
Yeah.
Especially early on, like... If that happened 3 years into the relationship, I'd be like, whatever. That's a bad Valentine's Day story, whatever. But, like, to survive that, there must have been sparks.
Okay. Yeah. I have something similar, actually, that I was just sparked in my mind. So I was dating somebody, and the first time that they met my mother was when I was knocked unconscious, stretchered off the ice, and taken to the emergency room, in a neck brace after a hockey game. And he was at the game with some of my friends, and my mom and dad were at the game, and they hadn't met yet. Like, it was early in the relationship. And so he obviously came to the hospital with the friends of mine that were there because it was very traumatic. Like, people thought I was dead, honestly. And so they met for the first time in the emergency room at St. Mike's Hospital, which, you know, is a sketchy hospital in Toronto. Like, it was Saturday night at like 11 p.m. So there's some characters there. And that was the first time that they met. It's a very funny story. And my friends were there as a good buffer. Right. It wasn't like weird, but I was so messed up, like out of my mind. Concussed.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't even have my eyes open because the lights were bothering my eyes so much. Like, I was fully in a neck brace in my full hockey equipment, too. They couldn't even take my gear off because they thought I had broken my spine. Nope. Not at that point, because I was still waiting to get into, like, the actual, like, room. So I was laying in, like, the hallway of the hospital in one of those stupid...
Oh, so everyone was around you?
Everybody was around us. Like, there wasn't a room available at this time. So I'm laying there so out of my mind, concussed, in sharp pain. I also had to pee so bad. And they were going to cut off my gear for me to go to the bathroom because I couldn't, like, get up. Anyway, so that wasn't Valentine's Day, but it was a very similar story of whatever the guy in your text was saying like the hospital
Ryan.
Issue.
Yeah, the DMs.
Way to go, Ryan.
Yeah. Yours is so bad on so many levels, though.
A bad night.
Yeah, okay. Listen, putting aside the fact that it's terrifying, your parents would obviously be in such a emotional state, right? Yeah. That it's just, I can't tell if meeting the boyfriend in that spot or meeting a guy you're dating is almost a good thing for him in terms of they just go, oh, he's supportive, he's here, we don't care about you because they're very invested in what's happening with you. Or if just the added, here's somebody that you don't know that is here circled around poor Ailish isn't just an extra
and
little...
I'm not like coherent enough to like help like guide the conversation. Like I'm totally out to lunch. So they're like on their own.
How long did this guy last after this?
Quite a while. It was, you know, not a... Okay. It wasn't, all right. It wasn't like the next day. He's like, I'm out of here.
Did they give you a take on him?
It was great. Yes, it was a... It was a happy story in the end. It wasn't like, oh my God. I mean, other than me being, you know, very, very injured, it all worked out nicely.
He didn't see you pee your pants.
No, didn't see me pee my pants. That was later in the night. Anyway, that's enough of my story. Very similar to this guy in your DMs with the hospital injury. So,
all right. What do we got in the text? What do we got in the text line? 590-590. Fire away. We're going to do text all day.
So this is about the song situation that you're just talking about. Yeah. A guy on my baseball team played guitar and sang, and then in brackets he put horribly.
Yeah.
And he used to do Wheat Kings all the time. Yeah. And it was the worst cover I have ever heard in my life. He did it at every team party. It was the worst.
No.
Yeah. You know, I know the trade deadline's now a couple of days behind us. That guy would be on the trade block permanently. Like, you know how when you go on your fantasy league and you can add guys to the trade block and it sends a message to the entire league? I would be going full MSN status, signing on and off over and over again to let that whole league know that this guy is available on the block. We can't waive him because he's our friend, but if anyone will give us anything for him, we're all over it.
You know what? This raises another interesting point of discussion, though, off of rec leagues, beer leagues, whatever you want to do. How you approach getting the person off your team who everybody can't stand, who's either terrible and hurts your team, but they're some way involved in the registration of the group, or they are in, it's a sour thing to remove them from it, right? The person who plays guitar and ruins Wheat Kings for everybody. That's quite... I'm sorry, but who are you people that are out here with the confidence? I can't sing at karaoke unless I have a thousand beers. And I'm squinting to see the screen in order to do a song. And who are you people out there that are thinking, I can just bring my guitar, I'm an amateur, to an event and just start singing it? I'll never understand you. I have nothing in common with you. But how do you get those people off your team? I would also like those stories of awkward person on your team, because we're going to do text again at 9:30. I feel like I can get some for this, because our listeners, I hope at least some of you play sports every once in a while. How you get the person off your rec league team, beer league team, softball team, whatever, that the group all talks about behind their back.
I would assume what you would do is like...
Yeah, you've played on real teams where it's not an option, where actually if you're good, you're on the team. So tough.
Have you ever played
on a rec team?
Yeah, I have. We played rec softball every year at Dartmouth in the spring, and it was just like we are such degenerates. Like we'd show up and like... actually, our team name was Cleats and Cleavage. Was amazing.
Okay.
But yeah, we played softball every spring at school, and like we were not good, but I don't know, maybe you just start a new group chat and you start planning, and then it's like, oh, by the way, the team's full this year, sorry about that. Like we had some new arrivals, like blah blah blah. I don't know, that's a tough spot to be in.
You are oversimplifying it. Also, what I love about Ailish's proposition here is, as a person who obviously is very nice and has a hard time saying no to people, that you would be able to pull that off. Like, you're the dead last person.
Somebody else is the dead last person.
Yeah, I know. You go, hey, what if you just cut them out completely and you're stone cold blooded and say, oh, it got full. That's the point, is like, it doesn't get full. You're supposed to be running back your team, right? The idea that, oh, well, this happened. No. You can't just do that easily. You have to have a person that either... And even if you do have a replacement person, well, how did you land on me to be the replacement? We know Jim less than you know me, or this person has a looser connection to the group than me. It's not easy. It's not an easy thing. Most people just die with the guy who plays guitar at the game on their team because they can't find a way out of that awkward situation. Honest to God, it's you do that to someone. You cut somebody off your beer league team that way. You cut someone off your rec team that way. You have to accept that you're probably never speaking to this person again.
Yeah, the friendship is also over.
Oh, if there ever was one to begin with, I'm saying that this person now hates you. Like, you have to know if your name comes up in conversation around them, they're going to say that you're a piece of you-know-what. Of poop. What was the thing called? Pooper Bowls? The tushy monster
Super
con-
Bowel
monster
Monday.
Super, yeah, that they're gonna reference you as the winner of the Super Bowel contest.
So the one saving grace there, though, and maybe this person, look, the person that busts out the guitar at all the team functions probably doesn't have the self-awareness to understand this, but if I were that person and I'm the person that gets cut, I don't want to talk smack about the rest of the people on the team, because the natural question that follows is, well, why? Why did they want you off the team? And then you have to have some level of accountability, or you sound like one of those people that just has their head in the sand. It's like, well, I don't know. They were all the problem. All 10 of them. It wasn't just, yeah. It wasn't me. It was all them.
Yeah.
Text in the text line, which is actually a really good point. I'm probably the guy you want to cut. That's why I'm the captain. Want your weekly reminder of the game? Don't cut me.
I know, but here's the thing. You're all the captain. That's your guys' move. You all do that. You're always the ones who will handle the registration and handle the money and know all the people, and you tentacle your way.
But that's sadly what I was. Now I'm starting to think,
You were on a university team. University doesn't matter as much because who actually, if you want to play in a serious league, first of all,
then
it's not
go
softball.
Play varsity sports.
Yeah, exactly. You're in college, and there's also ways of playing in actually more competitive leagues. You can determine that. I'm saying if you know you're by far the worst, that is the move of the by far the worst person, is to try to be the, hey guys, I lead the group chat. Hey guys. And you're actually the controlling party, right? You're the one
hey
who's
guys,
controlling
everything.
Guys, I
made post-game reservations at BP.
Yes, yes, yes. And everyone goes, all right, Chris, I hate Chris. He's horrible.
Definitely
he's
Chris.
Turnover machine. There's nobody there's nothing he can do well for us. He's not that fun to be around.
But if he's the vibes coordinator.
He's not the vibes coordinator.
This thing is like that person. There's a tough dichotomy going on here, because a lot of what you're saying, JD, is requires the self-awareness that you're bad.
Yeah.
And
it's not even about being bad.
I think there are two different versions of this person. One who doesn't have the self-awareness to recognize that they're bad and pulls out the guitar and stuff like that. And one who actually is the, you know, backup catcher, vibes coordinator, captain type.
But you want that person.
Right.
There's no person that ever wants that guy off the team or that girl off the team.
Well, when I played like semi-competitive slow pitch, that's the role I was in. Like, we went up a division. I'm like, I'm overmatched here. I got to be the guy who, like, I got to be that guy. But that's also the spot where it's like, oh, yeah. We're in the playoff round now. I'll sit out or play back catcher or whatever.
Yes.
You've got to have the awareness of that.
You have to be willing to know that you don't get the same amount of ice time, or you don't get to check into the floor in the last 5 minutes of the basketball game.
That's part of coordinating the vibes.
Yes, but no one wants the good person who's fun to be around off the team. That's not who I'm talking about.
Right.
I'm saying that this person sucks to be around.
I'm just clarifying that there are two versions of last guy on the bench who is the captain, and one is the good version, and one is the overeager. I actually think I'm the captain because I run the show and I'm the best.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I've been on multiple teams where that's been the case. Ugh, it's just the worst. I lost a men's league championship once because of that. Matt Hayes, you'll never forget Matt is our best player. I'm saying my friend Matt will remember.
I thought you were sewering this
guy. No. We had this guy who subbed into a game and forced his way into the floor and was like, we everybody played to play in a championship game. Ailish, can I give a PSA before we go?
Yes.
Or do you have something last on this?
Oh, no. Well, I'll read this one in our next text line block. It's good, but I feel like we want to pull on it more. So
yes,
I won't waste it now.
Keep it coming. Keep it coming. Keep them coming. How you remove that person? Can you remove that person? Is it possible? Or is this the Seinfeld? There's no, you know, hooking up with the roommate. Is this just an impossible thing to do? Here's a PSA, guitar guys. Unless someone asks you to bring your guitar, don't bring it. Unless someone says, hey, man, are you going to bring your guitar? Leave it at home. Play it in your basement or in your condo or wherever it is you play it alone. Nobody asked you. We're going to a cottage. If someone asks you, bring it. If they don't, maybe don't assume, unless you're Dallas Green. Then you can.